And we will move on to case number 5, Moreno-Cebrero against Gonzalez. Ms. Fasciotti?
Please the court. My name is Mary Fasciotti. I represent the petitioner in this case. This is a case involving a man who became a lawful permanent resident in 1963 as a result of marriage to a United States citizen. For almost 30 years, he had an absolutely immaculate record of good conduct in the United States.
Would you mind speaking up just a bit?
Sorry. He had an almost immaculate record of good conduct in the United States until April 15, 1991, when he was arrested with other Hispanic males by federal agents and charged with possession with intent to distribute an amount of cocaine and with conspiracy to distribute amount of cocaine. He was unable to obtain a bond. Judge Moran repeatedly denied him bail. And he remained in federal custody until he pled guilty on March 13, 1992, and that federal custody as a pretrial detainee continued until he was sentenced on June 22, 1992. He served his time at Oxford and was released on June 6, 1997. I wish to apologize to the court that my statement of facts at page 3 and 4 gives some rather amazing dates that differ substantially with this chronology, but I don't want to take the whole blame because opposing counsel also made one mistake in his brief, so I suppose we share the blame. One of the things that we do, however, differ is whether or not the immigration judge properly found that he had served more than 5 years of a sentence of incarceration and therefore was ineligible for relief under Section 212C. As the court may remember...
The question is, the statute that we're worried about says service of a term of imprisonment of at least 5 years, right?
Correct.
So what, when the immigration laws are talking about a term of imprisonment, do they mean? And it seems to me in criminal sentencing, it's quite ordinary if a term of 80 months or whatever it may be, of 60 months, 61 months is imposed, part of that term is satisfied by the pretrial detention period.
Pretrial detention, let me distinguish this a little bit in the IRA-IRA Act. Section 212C talks about sentence served for such felony or felonies. Now, what it contemplates is a sentence that was imposed by virtue of a conviction for aggravated felony or felony.
That's right. But the thing is, the sentence is imposed and it counts. The pretrial time counts toward your service of that sentence.
Pretrial detention is not a detention pursuant to a conviction.
After the fact, it is, though. If the judge decides to give you credit for that time, it's not while you're doing it. It's not ex ante.
Does the statute require they give the time?
Pardon me, sir?
The statute requires that they give the time, does it not?
Yes, it does.
So
the
sentence is 5 years or 6 years. The fact that you've already served part of it doesn't affect the sentence at all.
Good. The credit for time served is discretionary pursuant to the BOP's regulations. The BOP says that you can give credit for time served.
The court does not have to give credit?
The court, actually, it is really the Attorney General that has exclusive jurisdiction to determine.
So when you give the sentence, the Attorney General makes the decision as to whether to grant the time or not?
Yes, and that's
so
generally
So what you're complaining about is that he gave him a break.
I didn't hear the...
You're complaining about that the Attorney General gave your client a break.
Well,
he gave
even
him credit.
If the Attorney General gave my client a break and he served less of a sentence than the original 80 months, that doesn't mean that he's automatically disqualified for 212C.
No, it just means the way he counted is he counted the time before and the time after to come to the more than 5 years.
Right. It's a question of whether the glass is half full or half
empty. Well, at least
empty.
I understand your program and what
well,
you're talking about.
It's a question
about,
of yeah. whether... It's
the government says there's a right to it. I mean, they say after the district court sentences a federal offender, the attorney general, through the BOP, administers a sentence, and an offender has a right to certain jail time credit under 3585B.
Well,
so the attorney general figures out exactly how much of that time counts.
It is rather clear that the attorney general has the authority, but it is not an absolute automatic credit under my reading of the BOP's regulations, 8 CFR 523.17, which, by the way, I cited in a footnote in my brief. The government is arguing, however, that the real definition of what a sentence served lies in Section 101A48A and B, which are two provisions of IRA-IRA that determine when a conviction exists and for what kind of a sentence. And there, the statute specifically talks about sentence imposed.
But, Ms. Fasciotti, I just have to say, looking at 3585B, it is not written in discretionary terms. It says it's about credit for prior custody, and it says a defendant shall be given credit toward the service of a term of imprisonment for any time he has spent in official detention prior to the date the sentence commences as a result of the offense for which the sentence was imposed. That's pretrial detention.
I agree with you that the statute is mandatory, but my...
How could the regulations contradict that?
I believe that this is what the regulation said, and I cited that. But nonetheless, if that is the case, how can that become a sentence served? That's the issue here is whether or not the period of pretrial detention amounts to a sentence served, imposed pursuant to a conviction. Yes, it's agreed that he gets a credit. His time in incarceration is lessened, but it's also lessened by good time and educational good time and a whole series of credits that are involved in reducing the time of actual incarceration. But the actual term of incarceration is not elaborated in Section 212C to include something beyond the date when he began serving his sentence and the date when he was released from federal custody at the conclusion of his sentence. And that period of time between those two dates, I submit, satisfies Section 212C for statutory eligibility. And the immigration judge ignored the BOP's calculations, essentially, and asked for a letter from a probation officer who, after reciting the chronology of events going from August 1st of 1991 to June 7th of 1997, said that he has spent more than 5 years in custody. So now what we have is we're banding around the term custody with the term pretrial detention, with the term of incarceration.
Well,
and
I mean,
there's this
phrase, term of imprisonment, obviously can refer to a number of different things. Your client is out of luck if it refers to what the judge pronounced as the sentence. Your client is out of luck if it means the term of imprisonment equals the time you're actually in prison plus time that you got credit for. Because if he hadn't gotten the credit, he would have had to stay in prison. So that's another way. There's just this like little eye of the needle possibility you're suggesting that for some reason you get to disregard time when you were really in prison. You were in official detention, to use that term, but you hadn't yet reported, you know, after the sentencing for your official beginning of your criminal sentence.
The unlikely result that you get out of this is that those who are able to be released on bail don't get pretrial detention and don't have that computation involved. They also might get a lesser sentence. You also have the situation where
Why do we think that? Why do we think they would get a lesser sentence?
Well, I would think that if somebody is not considered a danger to the community, as are the requirements for keeping somebody in pretrial detention, is that a person is a danger to the community, and another singular factor, that's what goes into pretrial detention. It has nothing to do with guilt or innocence, and that's my point. Pretrial detention has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. And the fact that there is a credit doesn't affect...
Well, a credit is not a credit in the normal sense of the term. It's really... consideration that he's served part of the term he just got. He doesn't get any credit. He's already done it. And it's a kind of a nunk-pro-tunk sort of thing that you've already done this much time on the sentence I am imposing. And so I'm giving
really
you 5 years,
it.
But you've already done 2 years of the five. That's all.
I don't think it's really looked at that way. I think jail
well,
credit,
who's looking at,
jail credit
suppose,
is done
yeah.
because they don't want to have a person unreasonably detained for an ungodly period of time. Just like pretrial detention, the time of pretrial detention is guided by the Speedy Trial Act. That has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. The point is that when Congress mandated a system of deductions from time from the sentence imposed, it did it because it was much more interested in not having a cruel and unusual punishment situation that revolves from an enormous sentence that it also includes service of a pretrial detention.
If you want to save even a minute for your rebuttal time, I would suggest this is the moment to do that. All right, Mr. Palau.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Manuel Palau for the Attorney General in this case. What the petitioner here argues is that time served in pretrial detention counts towards service of his 80-year term, but somehow does not count when he's considering...
80-month, right?
What did I say?
Year.
My apologies,
I don't think
80 months.
It was that
80 months. But it doesn't count when you're considering whether he's eligible for immigration benefits. That's simply not a logical argument. Here, his eligibility is controlled by Section 212C of the INA, and it provides that if he served for a felony, a term of imprisonment of over of at least 5 years, he's not eligible. Here, the IJ reasonably interpreted that statute and found that because Title 18, Section 3585B, requires that he be given credit for time served in pretrial detention, that time should count as time served against his term of imprisonment. And that's just simply logic. You can't pick and choose when it's going to count and when it doesn't. And that's precisely the same analysis that's been applied previously by the board and several district courts in the Valdovinos, Gordon, and Mesrouyi cases, which we cite in our brief. The same situation occurred. The term of imprisonment was critical in determining eligibility for benefits. In both cases, pretrial detention was at issue. And in all three cases, the board case and the two district court cases, there was a state statute that required a credit for time served in pretrial detention. In all three cases, the board and the two district courts said that it logically follows that when a credit for time previously served is required, that becomes time served as pursuant to your conviction.
And would it make any difference if it were discretionary in your view?
Yes, it would, because there's a distinction between time served and suspended sentence. One is real, one is not. In this case, for example, if it was discretionary on the part of the sentencing judge to either give him time served, pretrial time served or not, then his grant of that would indicate some kind of leniency or mitigating circumstance. Here, it's simply done by statute to avoid excessive punishment. It's not any kind of leniency or mitigating factor, and the reality is that the petitioner here spent 312 days sitting in a jail cell prior to conviction and spent another 1,080 days afterwards. Those total together exceed 5 years. We were not arguing here that the good time that he earned while being incarcerated should count, because that's more of a suspension of a sentence. It's not time actually served. There's just no denying here the reality that the petitioner here served more than 5 years, and that's why the immigration judge's decision and interpretation of the statutes was reasonable and should be affirmed.
So you are in agreement that we ought to understand 212C to talk about term of imprisonment as a very literal time behind bars, if you will.
Yes, it refers to service of a term of imprisonment. Yes, Your Honor. And here we're only asking the court to count time served. And as this court said in the Staples case, time served is real time, suspended time is not. And that's why there's a distinction between those two types of reductions of sentence, if you will. The fact that he was allowed to get credit for the pretrial time served is not a reflection that his crime was any less serious. Had he qualified for pretrial release, he would have been on the street, and he would have served an additional 312 days upon sentencing here, and we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
So what he's really asking the court is because he was unable to qualify for a bail prior to trial, that he should be rewarded for that and not having that time count towards the time served pursuant to his conviction. So this case does not turn on distinctions between the purpose of pretrial detention and the purpose of a serving time pursuant to a conviction. Those distinctions are not material here. Congress knows what those distinctions are, and they said, despite those distinctions, or because of those distinctions, what we're going to order is that you must get credit for time served pretrial if you are subsequently convicted and sentenced. You get that. So Congress deems that time to be part of your service pursuant to your conviction, and that's all the immigration judge did here. She applied Section 3585 under Title 18. She applied 212C under the INA, and then she applied logic. And all those together compelled a result here, and it's a very reasonable interpretation of the statutes at issue, and we would ask the court to affirm the order of the judge below. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Okay, you have a minute, Ms. Speciotti.
I'd like to remind the court that we have an issue of Chevron deference here. And the Board of Immigration Appeals has never specifically said, with the exception of one case, Mara Voivodinos, that Section 212C should be interpreted with a view to expanding its definition to something beyond the time served, but time credited against actual sentence imposed. This court has said, characterizing pretrial detention in U.S. versus Atkinson, which I cite in my brief, that the amount of time a defendant spends in pretrial detention prior to sentence is often a function of an inability to make bond, among other factors. It has not been determined to be punishment in the sense that incarceration is. Yes, you give credit for good time, but you're doing it to avoid the onus of a double jeopardy, excessive punishment clause of the U.S. Constitution. Pretrial detention is not considered punishment in the usual sense. The fact that Section 212C talks about sentence served means that we talk about sentence served following a conviction for felonies or felonies that are aggravated felonies or felonies. So I don't believe that we should allow the immigration judge to make the kinds of calculations she made without some consideration as to whether this is consistent with Chevron. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.